All members vote who desire to vote.
Members, this budget is not our preference.
Share the pain.
We've got to stop the games.
No baloney.
Taxes, taxes, taxes.
The next step's the governor's.
Only the good Lord knows.
Mr. Secretary, call the roll.
Those are the sounds of the Capitol, which introduces our weekly segment, Capitol Chat. And this week, as is often the case, we're speaking with Capitol Public Radio's Ben Adler. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Hey, good morning, David.
It's been a pretty quiet week down at the Capitol, but there's still a few things going on. What have you been following?
Well, in fact, just a little bit ago, the Assembly wrapped up debate over a couple of budget cleanup bills, and those are bills that are intended to deal with fallout, expected, unexpected, otherwise, from the spending plan that California lawmakers passed last summer. These are somewhat typical, but they're always up for good debate. And not only that, there can be some legitimate points made about whether they should be avoided in the first place by passing a better budget. So I pulled a couple of clips from the Assembly debate, and the first person we're going to hear from is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, who is the Republican vice chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. And the bill we're going to hear his quote and another quote about is a bill that would basically help the state not run out of cash at the end or at the beginning of March. Earlier this week, the state controller warned lawmakers that the state would run out of cash in early March unless they do something. And it has less to do with whether the revenues and expenses are equal or not, although the state is running behind on revenues and is spending more than was projected in the budget, but more just a matter of cash flow and that a lot of the state's revenues come in mid-April, tax day, and it is often hard to get through until then with adequate cash flow. So here is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, Republican, and here's his concerns about the measure.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the Assembly, this kind of bill for cash flow is typical and historic and regular around here, in many respects necessary, but there are some problems with the approach. Such things are a product of overly optimistic budgeting, of under-anticipating revenues, of flaws in the budget process, and the lack of what I call litigation proofing when we do our budget, where we, by how the legislature crafts its budget, invites litigation that will enjoin some of the savings that were anticipated to accrue. We need to be a lot smarter about our budgeting.
That's Jim Nielsen speaking on the assembly floor this morning, right, Ben?
Exactly. And then let's also hear from the Democratic chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, Bob Blumenfield, about why he believes the bill is necessary.
The state is doing a better job of managing cash flow than it has for the last few years. This bill enables us to deal with that in a prudent, logical way. It's not about overall revenues versus overall expenditures. This is simply about cash flow. We get our revenues come in at a different time than our expenditures. Our expenditures are fairly even over the year, and our revenues come in at tax time and other key times. This allows the state to manage that logically, and I ask for your aye vote.
Ben, it sounds like what they're talking about is that maybe this isn't quite as dire as it sounded last week when it came out from the controller's office, and that it's more a matter of managing things rather than that there's not enough money.
I guess depends on who you ask as to whether it's a big deal or not. It is certainly true that cash flow bills are typical at this time of year in the budget process, and Republicans acknowledge as much. So that would, you know, support what the Democrats are saying. But at the same time, Republicans would make the point that, you know, better budgeting and not relying on, you know, no lawsuits challenging the budget to succeed, because just this week there was another lawsuit that's going to take at least a $75 million hit out of the budget. We're going to talk about redevelopment in a second. Had redevelopment not worked out the way the state had hoped, there would have been a $1 billion hole in the budget. Republicans would say better budgeting would make these bills unnecessary, and that besides, the state is basically doing some internal borrowing, taking cash from one pot and moving it into the general fund, and then it's going to have to pay that back later with interest. And that's just not a very prudent thing to do. So, again, it depends on who you ask, as with just about everything at the Capitol.
Right. I'm speaking with Ben Adler of our Capitol Bureau about what's going on down there this week. Among the cleanup bills, there was also something regarding funding of school buses, correct?
Yes. And basically, the budget had, among the many mid-year trigger cuts, a $250 million cut to home-to-school transportation, school buses. But that hits many rural districts and many urban districts a lot harder than suburban districts, districts that don't use buses as much.
Mm-hmm.
And the districts can't necessarily cut school buses because they're required to, in many cases, by federal law for some of the urban ones, for special education kids. And then the rural districts, if you cut school bus funding, you don't have any students at school. So that would kind of defeat the purpose of having classes. So what happened is, and this was generally bipartisan, the Assembly Minority Leader Connie Conway just sent out a statement in support of this bill. What it does is it restores the $250 million funding cut to school bus funding and instead cuts the identical amount of money, the $250 million, from the general K through 12 budget. So what it'll do is spread that money more evenly between among all of the districts.
Okay. Also, we're just finding out just now the court has ruled on this Prop 8 case regarding the video from the trial. What's going on with that?
Yeah, this just broke a few minutes ago. It is not, to be clear, the central question of whether Proposition 8, the voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage passed in 2008, is constitutional or not. That is a separate question to be decided at a later date. Mm-hmm. This is the question of whether the video from the trial court from the trial court level can be released to the public. And the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said no, it cannot. And so that has Prop 8 opponents, supporters of same-sex marriage, upset, and that has Prop 8 supporters, opponents of same-sex marriage, very happy with the ruling. So
there was concern that there was going to be identities would be revealed of some of the people who supported Prop 8, correct?
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that's the case. Yes.
Okay. Also, you mentioned earlier redevelopment. It's done. It's over. There's no more. But there's still a lot of money involved, and there will be some lawsuits. Where are we with redevelopment right now?
Well, yes, redevelopment agencies officially ceased to exist at midnight Wednesday. So when the clock struck midnight at the start of yesterday, the end of Tuesday. And so redevelopment agencies themselves have designated a successor agency, usually a city or county. Some exceptions, most notably Los Angeles, did not. And so there's a three-member state oversight board, the members of which were appointed by Jerry Brown yesterday, that are going to be dealing with each of those redevelopment agencies that did not hand their operations over to the city or county. But the successor agencies, city, county, state, whatever, will oversee current projects and ensure all debt payments. Projects that are underway will continue, but those that don't have any contracts or obligations associated with them are basically dead. And also dead are the jobs of city and county employees who worked on redevelopment projects. Some local governments, like the city of Oakland, had to deal with potentially cutting services that relied on redevelopment funds because they had managed to somehow get their budget so tangled up with the redevelopment funds that money from redevelopment funded people in all sorts of different areas of the government, including, I think, maybe some members of the city council. And so that had to all be rearranged as well. So that's what happens to the redevelopment agencies. Now, what happens to the money in terms of the state budget?
Right.
The state will get about $1 billion into its general fund indirectly from redevelopment. The redevelopment money gets split up. It's property tax dollars, and they go to schools, cities, counties, and special districts. But because the schools are getting money from redevelopment, it means the state general fund does not need to contribute as much to schools under Proposition 98, and that will end up being a net general fund savings for the state of about $1 billion.
All right. Well, Ben Adler is one of our Capitol Bureau reporters. Thanks for filling us in today on Capitol Chat.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Insight from Capitol Public Radio. Coming up, violinist Rachel Barton Pine. We'll be right back.